Father, open the minds of our hearts that we might glean and understand spiritual realities and spiritual truth this morning. And Father, as your word will come forth, we pray that Christ will be exalted and Christ alone. Father, I pray that every confusion will be gone from our minds. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. So I've been doing this series, From Victim to Victor, encouraging us to remember what God has done for us and who we are. Last week we shared about renewing the mind, that Paul says from Romans 12, verse 1, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is our act of worship. And that is the foundation for everything. We have yielded ourselves to the Lord and we belong to Him and we appropriate the sacrifice in our lives. But Paul goes on to say we need to not be conformed to this world, which suggests that we can be saved and still live like somebody of the world. And so the key then to move from that position of just being saved to being effective is to have our minds transformed through renewal of our minds. And so we shared about that last week, that it's important for us to have our minds being renewed through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, so we can prove and test and understand the will of God, the good and perfect and acceptable will of God, and not just be saved, but we don't look much different from the world. Today I want to share a little bit about high places. I've called this pulling down high places and exalting Christ. And this is going to be like a Bible study. How many of you know it's good to study the Bible? And so it's key, because this is not something that many of us have thought about a lot. And so it's important for us to grasp these principles from the Scripture, from the Word of God, and then to see how these things affect our nation and us on a personal level. And so it's not going to necessarily be the typical type of message, but I believe it's very, very important and key for us as we the church and as a nation moves into a new phase. And I'm sure we can all see the new phase that the nation is moving into. And whatever, many times what happens in the natural is a reflection of some of the things that are occurring in the spiritual. And so this high place idea we need to grasp and understand. So turn with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. I'm just going to read a few verses there. But this is a story of Balaam, when Balak called Balaam to come and curse God's people. And before Balaam left home, the Lord tried to stop him. And even his donkey could see spiritual things and Balaam couldn't see it, which is a picture sometimes even of the church, where we can't even see the spiritual realities in front of us, but other people and other things can see it. And this donkey, Lord had actually used a donkey to speak to this prophet. And nevertheless, he persisted in going. And here we're at verse 41 of Numbers chapter 22. And it says, then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. And he saw from there a portion of the people. That verse is significant. Balak took Balaam up to the high places of Baal, and from there he saw a portion of the people. Numbers 23, verse 1. Then Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here. And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand beside your burnt offering, and I'll go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I'll tell you. So he went to the Bear Hill. Now God met Balaam, and he said to him, I've set up 7 altars, and I've offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and you shall speak thus. And it ends up being a word of blessing. And remember, we shared 1 week about proclamation, looking at the Jeremiah, where the Lord says, I'm going to put my word in your mouth, and as you speak it, you're going to pull down stuff, you're going to uproot stuff, you're going to build up stuff, you're going to plant stuff. And there's power through proclaiming the word of God. And so here we see an illustration that Balaam really wanted to curse God, but he was a man who functioned in the spiritual realm. And it's important to realize where he went. He went up to the high places of Baal, and he established 7 altars. And I've been trying to research this to see, you know, what's the significance. And most scholars think it's just a number that's significant. It means perfection. I was wondering if there were some other minor gods that were involved. But I don't have any evidence to that. But the reality is that he went up to the high places where he could see the people of God, and he offered up sacrifices on the high places. 7 sacrifices, or at least 7 altars in which he offered sacrifices to supposedly wanting to get the attention of Baal, but instead Yahweh intervened. Because one of the things about the Lord is that there has to be a basis. The Bible says no blessing can alight unless there is a basis. No curse can alight unless there is a basis for the curse. And so rather than him cursing God's people, instead he ended up blessing God's people. But Balaam realized that he needed to be at a place where he can actually see the people, so he can release into the atmosphere some things that would impact and affect the people of God. Now we read that and it just flies right over our head. We don't even realize what's happening. But a high place, as I put in the notes here for us, is that for us it's figurative. But it's a place of influence, great influence. For Balaam, he thought from that place he could pronounce this curse. And when it didn't work at that place, he went to another high place. Because he realized it was a place where he could release things into the atmosphere. Interestingly, when Israel was battling against the Amalekites in, I think it's Exodus somewhere there, 17, 18, and Moses was up in a high place praying, and Aaron and Ur had to hold up his hand, and he was looking down at the battle, and whenever Moses' hands fell down, Israelites started to lose. Whenever his hands were up, the Israelites started to win. From that high place, that place of influence. But it's also a place of proclamation, where things are spoken into the atmosphere, and things happen and things change. Balaam wasn't speaking empty words. In fact, he actually prophesied concerning even the Messiah. He wasn't speaking empty words. He was speaking for the blessing. If it was empty words, then it wouldn't matter if he said negative things or not. God wouldn't allow him to speak any curse upon his people. And so I put here in the notes, whenever they have the high place, that's one thing. But Balaam went further to put altars there now. So it now becomes a place of worship. And a place from which then he could, in that place of worship, that place of being before whatever spirits, he could release some things. There's something there for you and for me. That when we are in that presence of God, when the Spirit of God is hovering around, just as it was in Genesis chapter 1, if we can release the word of the Lord, things will occur and changes will take place. Significant things. When the people of Israel came into the promised land, God warned them. Deuteronomy chapter 12. The Lord warned them. And the Lord said to them in Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, burn their Asherah poles in the fire, cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. And what God then was saying to Israel, when I take into the land, these people are used to worshiping their gods in the high places, establishing altars up there. And God is like, when you get into the land, you need to destroy these high places, cut up all these idols and burn them. And I'm going to show you a place where my name will be, and it is in that place you must come and offer sacrifice. And we all know that place ended up being for them in the time there of Moses being the tabernacle. God said, if you want to offer sacrifices, come to the tabernacle and offer them here. Later on, when the temple was built, it's supposed to be the temple. But God didn't want his people to make the practice to be in high places there to worship him. He wanted them to come into the holies of holies. at this high priest court, and they would come into the tabernacle and experience God. But there was a time when God allowed them to worship in the high places. And the example I have is the example of Gideon. When Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, and God appeared to him, one of the first assignments God said to Gideon was to destroy, go to the high places and destroy the places of worship, the altar set up to Baal, and establish one to Yahweh. In other words, God wanted the people, the Israelites, to realize, no, if you are going to look to something, look to me. And so that was what they were used to. In the morning, they'd wake up and they'd see that altar up there, and it reminds them that they're under the oppression of Baal. And God says, no, destroy that and establish an altar to me, to Yahweh. So you see, there's something that God was trying to get his people to realize in terms of high places. And so God allowed them to establish an altar there in the time of Gideon. But that wasn't God's ideal. God's ideal was always for them to come into the tabernacle and later on into the temple, into his very presence, to experience him. That's just some background to this high place thing. So what happened is that in the time of the kings, as I was studying this, I was amazed at some of the things that I saw. I really could not comprehend how the people of God could be like that. We all know that the Jews lost the Ark of God's presence at the end of the time of Eli, the priest. And in the time of Saul, the king, he didn't go out for the Ark of God's presence. It was David who, when he became king, went to bring back the Ark and to put that Ark back into the tabernacle. It was still a tabernacle then. David is the one who says, I need to build something more permanent for God. I need to build for him a temple. And God says, no, your hands are too bloody. Your son Solomon will build this temple. But they still had the tabernacle. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, it says this, verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. The only difference, or one of the main difference, was that except he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on high places. And so that verse tells me that David didn't offer any sacrifice to God in high places. David would go into the temple if he had to offer sacrifice. But David was not one to go to high places, and David became the standard. When you read through, they always refer back to the time of David. But Solomon, for whatever reason, thought it was okay to offer sacrifice in high places, and God sort of winked at it initially. I placed in your bulletin there several scriptures, because we're going to go through them quickly. Help us to see for ourselves what took place. In 1 Kings chapter 11, it says in verse 6, which is the scripture you have there in your bulletin itself, it says, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. So David is the standard. David followed God completely. Verse 7, on the hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So this is strange to me, because here is Solomon. He's the one who built the temple. He's the one, when you read Chronicles, when they were dedicating the temple, the presence of God came down in the form of a cloud so powerful that the priests couldn't stand to minister. This is a man, it says, he experienced God, encountered God twice. And yet still here he is later on in his life building up high places for the gods. The very thing God said his people were not supposed to do. In fact, they were supposed to destroy them. But here comes Solomon with all of his wisdom, building high places to worship the gods. And that puzzles me. I'm telling the truth. It puzzles me. How can you, having understood what your father went through, having experienced the power of God and the presence of God, end up over there? Forget? You're the king. I mean, God has blessed you so much. And it dawns on my friends, you know, I love the presence of the Lord, and I believe we all need to experience more and more and more of God. But if some things are not settled in our hearts, then some situations can arise that will influence us to do things that are contrary to the will of God. Even though we've experienced the power of God, some things need to be settled in our hearts. And so Solomon built high places. Verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 11. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. And because of this act of Solomon, God said that basically the kingdom is going to be torn from him. And the kingdom was torn and divided between one of his servants, Jeroboam, and his son, Rehoboam. Because he established high places to worship other gods. And so I'm going to move through these scriptures fairly quickly that you have on that sheet. 1 Kings 33, talking about Rehoboam. He's up in the north. And it says, and Rehoboam, because he was insecure, he established high places and all sort of worship, built sacred cows for them to go and worship at. And 1 Kings 13, 33 says, even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests for the high priests, high places from all sorts of people. Verse 34, for this was a sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and to its destruction from the face of the earth. Because he established high places. Rather than to obey the word of the Lord, that you should come to Jerusalem to worship. We won't spend any time tracing the history of the kings of the north. They were taken captive fairly quickly. But let's look at some of the kings here in the south, in Jerusalem, in Judah. 1 Kings 14:21, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah. He was 41 years old when he became king. I mean, that's a relatively good age. I mean, you're supposed to have sense by that time. You're supposed to mature. I mean, you're 41. I mean, if you don't learn by that stage, oh my. But so it's important when the Bible tells you how old they were. So he was 41 when he became king and reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, and was chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah, and she was an Ammonite. No, that's key. His mother was a heathen. And so his mother had influence upon him, and his father built high places. So what do you expect this young man to do? So 22, Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up his jealous anger more than their fathers had done. They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones and Asherah poles on every hill and under every spreading tree. It's almost like the quote in Deuteronomy, the Lord says he wants to destroy them. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. So he goes further than his father. The generational sin. And I'm reading this, I'm like, male prostitutes? In the time of Rehoboam? And how many know that there's a parallel even what has happened in our own society? We go from rejecting God to all sort of sexual immorality. And it's even in the church. And the fact that the writer mentions this tells you that this was a serious sin. And you understand that we're living in a patriarchal culture back then. So most of the people who come to the temple and to the shrines are the men. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need to tell you anything else if you have male prostitutes there. And I say, my goodness. But it's starting from these high places that have been established. This is what the pagans used to do. That's why God said, tear down all those high places, destroy them. And here come the kings acting as if they're above what God says and establishing high places, starting with Solomon, followed through by his son who goes further. Oh, I think we're going to have to, I don't know. So after Rehoboam comes Asa, chapter 15, verse 11, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, his father David had done. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes. He's brought about a little bit of reform. He's like, get out of here. Can't bring this ungodly thing into before the people of God. He expelled them from the land and got rid of all the idols his fathers had made. But look at verse 14. Although he did not remove the high places. So he brought about a little bit of reform and he took strong action against his mother who had set up herself as some sort of goddess. But Asa still did not remove the high places. His son was Jehoshaphat. 1 Kings 22:42. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. Verse 43. In everything he walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed. And I'm looking at this and I'm reading, I'm like, the author is telling us something each time he mentions that the high places were not removed. He's making a commentary. He's trying to say, these kings did some stuff, but something must have blindsided them, something they didn't grasp. They allowed the high places to remain there. Those places of influence, those places where they go to worship, all sort of stuff. Then there were several kings after that, in between Jehoshaphat, that just continued whatever Jehoshaphat and others did. And it comes down now to Ahaz, 2 Kings 16:2. Ahaz was 20 when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike his father David, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire. My goodness. Following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven up before the Israelites, he offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops and under every spreading tree. So he goes further, and now you have the sacrifice of the children. And any one of you who understand these things will realize that there's a parallel between that and the abortion stuff we have in our nation. And so if you start to put things together, you can see a parallel. You have the abortion, you have the male prostitutes, and all these things coming under these worship of these high places, worship of these gods. Wow. Then you have some more kings, and then you have Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one who brought reform. I start to put him in a place of admiration now. Hezekiah, it says in 2 Kings 18:3, he, Hezekiah, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed high places. Finally, a king will get it. I said, no, we've got to get rid of these high places. Smash the sacred stones. Cut down Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. We've got to start to worship the snake as an idol. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. And I started to get hopeful. Until Hezekiah's son come on the scene. 2 Kings 21:3. He, Manasseh, built high places his father Hezekiah destroyed. And I'm thinking, what type of crazy thing is this that is happening? Your father took such radical action, and here comes this young man who doesn't understand anything, and he rebuilds the high places and he goes further. He erected altars to Baal and made Asherah poles. Verse 4, he built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I'll put my name. He goes further and to build into the temple of God worship for Baal. I can only imagine what was happening in heaven when that started to occur. I can imagine how angry God was. It's bad enough to set up a high place out there, but you bring it into the temple. Verse 5, in both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts, and he sacrificed his own son in the fire. Don't you see something is happening there? I mean, this is over decades, hundreds of years, and the same little thing is happening. One little bright spark was Hezekiah, who cut down the high places, but the king after him reestablished it and goes further. And then there was another king who came and brought about some sort of reformation. His name is Josiah. And so King Josiah ordered the priests, the high priests, and the priests in the rank and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all articles made for Baal. If you skip down to verse 4 of 2 Kings 23. He tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes, which tells me that under Manasseh, the male shrine prostitutes started to reign again. So you had the prostitution of the males, you had the killing of the kids. And so Josiah brought about some measure of reform. Verse 13, the king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the hills of the corruption, the ones Solomon, King Solomon of Israel, had built. So somehow over all these years, that high place that Solomon had been way back when was still there. That Josiah finally got rid of. And friends, believe you me, after Josiah, the king that came returned to the evil ways. And because of that, God sent them into exile. The high places. The places of influence. The places where people stand to proclaim and to declare things. Going all the way back to Balaam. In 1975, Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth of the Mission, he was praying, and the Lord showed him that there were seven, he called it seven mind molders, seven influences that affect the minds of people. And he wrote them down. And the next day, he had a meeting with Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Bill Bright, God had showed him a similar thing, that there were seven spheres of influence, and he wrote them down. And when they compared their notes, they were basically the same seven areas of influence. And over time, they have used different terms for them. Areas of influence, areas of culture. The most common term today is mountains of influence. Seven mountains of influence in our society. Seven places, you can call them high places, from which influence our community and our society. You have the government. And you know, in this country, we have three branches of government who are places of influence. And within that three branches, you have, for example, the Supreme Court. And when the Supreme Court makes a ruling, it becomes law. Now people tell me, well, the Supreme Court is not supposed to establish laws. I know, but they do it. So you can stay over there and argue you're not supposed to do it, but the reality is it has been done 44 years ago. They established that abortion was legal. And it has been there, like an altar, up on a high place, influencing our culture. And different presidents have come and gone, just like back in Israel. And they do all sort of stuff, but this high place still remains. This place, it's almost like it's a stronghold, still remains. You understand what I'm saying, church? So we're in a strategic time. And I dare to suggest this is perhaps some sort of prophetic aspect to this message. That now is a time when that high place needs to come down, needs to be destroyed. You understand what I'm saying, friends? So when you go into your prayer closet and when you meet together, you need to start to proclaim the destruction of this thing. Because every one of these mountains are supposed to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are supposed to operate according to the principles of the Word of God. And so that high place was established. And then that same branch of government took prayer out of our schools. And it still influences our society today. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And we can do all the little things we're doing, but as long as that high place is there, people's lives have been sacrificed. Thank God that we have some places where we can still, have our educators who can still influence. And that's an aspect of this world, because we need to get into every one of these mountains as Christians. After we're prayed, we need to take up our rightful place in these mountains and establish the will and purposes of God. We can't lock ourselves behind the four walls and just expect change to take place. We need to get involved in government. Right. We need to get involved in every one of these, education, yes. Business, yes. To bring about the change. You understand what I'm saying, saints? It's key. If we're going to pull down the high places, we have to put something in this place, which is the name of Christ. Ephesians 1 already tells us that every name that can be named is subject to Christ, and he will reign until he makes all of his enemies his footstool. But we can't just lock ourselves behind the four walls, because, let me tell you something, you see the agenda of the gays and lesbians? Somebody told me that they don't want to invite themselves to this church because they're afraid that something might be said from the pulpit that will offend them because their friends are gays. That's like, I just preach a word. But the gays and the lesbians have been smarter than the church in recent times. Every one of these mountains, I don't know if I have time to go through them, the media, entertainment, business, which is commerce, religion, and home, they have infiltrated every one of these areas. And their influence is seen. Government, everything. And so a year and a half ago, the high place, the Supreme Court, what did they do? You see what I'm saying? So you kill the babies, and you legalize the male prostitution and all of that stuff. And it becomes now a stronghold that influences all of us. And people have been sacrificed at those places. If you don't align yourself with it, you can lose your job. So the church, we have been happy singing songs, and we need to do that. And things have been happening out there, and we don't have a clue. But high places have been established, and altars have been erected. And so you have it there. You have got the education, which include our schools and our colleges. When they take God out, something has to come in. You see, so the enemy understands this. The enemy gets God out. The gays and lesbians understand it, so they get their agenda in. Are you getting some insights? And when these things are established, friends, unless you get a radical king like Josiah to tear it down, they remain. And we need to not be ignorant. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And to realize that if it's pulled down now, you still have to take a stand, because the next person who comes after might reestablish it. You getting it? I mean, And it sometimes becomes worse. Because Jesus says when he casts out the unclean spirit, when it comes back, if the place is not occupied, it brings seven worse demons. My Lord. What time do we talk about the media. Internet, the television, the news, the newspaper. That's exactly what the alternative lifestyle people did. And many of the media houses, they're right there at the top. All the while we are just here singing Kumbaya. Friends, we need to get out there and get involved. We need to get out there and get into the media houses. Entertainment. Coming out of Hollywood and all those places. Look at what they're trying to show. Look at the movies. I think there was a mandate made that you have to have this type of person in every one of your shows. And whenever they show a Christian, they always look sort of weird and outdated. Yeah. So everyone is mountains, these people have infiltrated while we are ignorant as to what's happening. Business. Sometimes it's a commerce, sometimes it's used business. Different terms I use. If you Google it, you'll find these seven coming up. Business, finances. Some of the big corporations are the financiers of some of the homosexual activities. While the church is here singing, Kumbaya, my Lord. You understand what I'm saying, friends? If we want to see our nation transform for the glory of God, then we need to realize that we have to get involved. We have to pray and pull on some strongholds, but then we need to do some other things. We can't just sit back and retreat. And nobody gives up ground easily, so there's going to be a fight. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about taking up sticks and stones. I'm talking about a spiritual fight. If we want to take back territory, there's going to be a fight. And we started the year talking about the fact that David went back and recovered all that was taken from him and restored it, and we declared it to be a year of increase. Well, we need to go forward and to believe God. Religion is another area. And so now they kick the church out and you have Islam and all those groups seem to be having more say than even the church. And even the church, we're so lukewarm and we don't even know our left or right. We just punch all the cards on Sunday morning and think everything is fine and don't realize, no, we're losing ground. The church needs to be the storehouse of the presence of Almighty God, and from there we go forth and impact the community. And in the home, they're redefining what a family is. Have you ever noticed that? And if you dare to say that we believe in the biblical marriage, you're almost seen as if you're committing treason. And they took Chick-fil-A and all these other groups to task because they dare to say they believe in the biblical definition of marriage. And so these are the seven mountains of influence in our society where the enemy has established some high places and some strongholds. And as you and I pray to pull them down, you and I need to get involved so that our influence can be felt, so that these things can be changed. We have to get some radical people, some Hezekiahs and some Josiahs who will not leave the high places in place, but will do whatever they can to pull them down. We need to get more people involved in our educational system. More of you need to go on some school boards. How many of you understand what I'm saying? If you're talking about the kingdom of God invading our community, then God uses people. So it's either he's going to convert those who are already there, or he's going to send us into those places. Okay, wow. So how does it affect me personally? That's a very good question. But these influences are there in our personal lives, and sometimes we don't even realize it. The way we use our finances, for example, I put there. I have this man who's a, call him a good friend, that I've known for years. He really loves the Lord. He will serve. You know, wherever he goes to church, he'll serve. He'll come in and he'll paint the walls. He'll do repairs. He'll give up his time. But when it comes to giving financially, he's stingy. And so one day we got talking, and he said to me that when he was a child, things were difficult for his family. And so there were Christians in the church, and one day a missionary came by, and his father invited the missionary over, and his father wrote a check to support the missionary for $5,000. And as a kid, he saw the check and he saw how much his father wrote it for, and he could not rationalize, how could my father give so much to missions while we are having it difficult? And so from that moment, he decided that he'd never do that. And that's why he'll give up his time, because he doesn't think he's robbing his family when he does that, because they're at school or wherever. But he will not give much financially. Because that influence there from something he saw in his father, a high place has been established in his life that prevents him from giving freely financially into the things of God. And there are many people like that. They don't realize. They hold on to the little that they have, and they just give you a little bit here, and they don't realize. If you read the scriptures, you realize that God is calling us to be very generous towards the things of the kingdom. And sometimes there's a stronghold that prevents some people from doing that. That needs to be eradicated and removed from your life. For some people, the family and friends have such influence over them that they can't freely go after the things of the kingdom. There's always something demanding their attention that they cannot go after the things of the kingdom. That's how influence is drawing you away. That you need to set straight your priorities to go after the things of the kingdom and not just please the demands of family and friends. Because when you do that, the next generation is going to take it further. The influence of witchcraft and all sort of stuff in our families. When we're afraid to declare that there's only one way. And it's the way of Christ. When we're afraid to take a stand. I have a niece and a nephew. I mean, I have several of them, but this particular niece and nephew that are homosexuals. But they know where I stand. See, so any activity you have that involves that type of things, don't even invite me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not coming to your gay wedding. I don't care if you're offended. It's an abomination in the sight of the Lord. But if we can't stand on the word of God, then what influence are we setting for the next generation? Let us stand. And then we have there, I put the entertainment and somebody be setting things that we have in our lives. What are the things you are looking at? What are the things are you watching? If you don't agree with them, then why are you watching them? Are your children watching you watch them? And somebody be setting things, they may not be sins, but you put them before the Lord and they influence you. And that influence spreads to the people around you. Because as they say, action speaks louder than words. And so this morning, as I shared a little bit about high places, and you can see the history throughout Israel, that started with Solomon and all the abomination that came in the succeeding generations, and how it got worse in the next generation. The generational sins that continue. Maybe you have been influenced by a generational sin and never noticed. No. But if you step back and look at your own line, ancestry, you can see. Your dad was unfaithful to you. Your granddad was unfaithful to grandma. And dad was unfaithful to ma. Now here I am struggling. You break off that thing. Destroy it. It's contrary to the will of God. Contrary to the word of God. Step into the freedom that God has for you. Let's just bow our heads this morning. We shared a lot this morning. Some of you need to spend some time in prayer and reflecting on these things. For some of you, it's totally new. You haven't realized it before. But these high places are there in our own families, in our own personal level, and they're there in our communities. And so some of you, God might be speaking to you about getting involved in politics, running for an office, I don't know. Some of you might be telling you to get involved in entertainment, in the arts. Some of you to set up your business that functions as a godly business and not just like the other businesses around. I don't know how God will lead you, but it's important for us to realize that these influences are there, these high places are there that impact all of our culture. This morning, perhaps, there's somebody here who has backslidden, and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I've walked away from the Lord, and I want to recommit myself this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody in this house? You walked away from the Lord, and you need to recommit yourself to Him this morning. And then there are the rest of us. This morning, you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to pull down every high place that is influencing my life. I'm going to ask you just to take the hand of your neighbor and just to pray one for another. Pray one that God will reveal to your neighbor every high place that is in their life, and two, that God will give them the courage to pull down those high places, because people have to discern them for themselves. Let us pray one for another that God will show them the high places, and that too that they'll have the courage to pull down these high places. Let's just sing this song to the Lord.
To the altar, The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ.
Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, we thank you for the insights you give us even from your word. And Lord, as we look to our nation, Father, we can see how these areas of influence have impacted this nation. And Lord, we ask you, God, to give us the wisdom to know how to get involved in the various mountains, oh God, so that we can bring with us the principles of the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray that every one of these places of altars that have been established will be brought low. Lord, we pray, oh God, that we will see, oh God, an end to this legalization of the killing of our unborn children. Father, we ask, oh God, that this mountain will be brought low in the name of Jesus Christ and be submitted to the principles of your word. Father, the idea that, oh God, we cannot teach our children about you in our schools. Father, I pray that this mountain too, oh God, will be brought low in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, legalization, oh God, of lifestyles, oh God, that are contrary to your word. Lord, we pray that this also be broken and brought low in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for our Supreme Court, oh God, that even as there's a new nominee to be put forth this week, that Father, you'd put in that place of influence, oh God, someone, oh God, who fears you, someone, oh God, who knows you, oh God, who will make decisions based upon the principles of your word. Father, I pray that this group, oh God, might come and align itself with the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we pray, God, you touch the hearts of those who function at this level. And Lord, if they won't yield, oh God, we pray you might move them out of the way and replace them, oh God, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, oh God, even for your church, oh God, you might cause us, oh God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, to seek your face and to seek you only. Father, on personal lives, oh God, to surrender everything to your Lordship and not to have something that's out there that rules and influences us in ways that are contrary to your will. And so, Father God, cause us, oh Lord, to align ourselves with you, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and to allow you to add all the other things that we need, oh God. Father, we ask you, God, for the salvation of our children, that every one of our children, oh God, would know you and would serve you wholeheartedly, would serve you even more fervently than we serve you, O God. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us. May your spirit rest upon us. Lord, may your anointing, O God, be evident in our lives. And Lord, may your speech be seasoned as it were with salt, O God, to give grace to those who would hear us. Lord, may we function with love as we interact with people. And Lord, may you, O God, be glorified in us and through us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen.